Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator, Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
Hi, thank you for joining us. My name is Bruce Norris. Today our special guest is Sean O'Toole, president and founder of Foreclosure Radar. Sean successfully purchased and flipped more than 150 residential and commercial properties that were in foreclosure, bought at trustee sales usually, leveraged 15 years of the software industry, and used that knowledge, making a trustee sale business work. And Sean, you've been involved in startups as well for this in the software industry. So welcome to our show.
Thanks for having me.
I looked at your mission statement, and I think it actually is the first time I've done that. Our mission at Foreclosure Radar is simple: to bring transparency, efficiency, and honesty to the foreclosure marketplace. Is that unusual?
Oh, you know, as we've seen with some recent stories about FBI raids at trustee sales, you know, they have a notorious reputation. I think generally they're honest and not necessarily efficient, but there's always a few bad apples out there.
So the 40 thieves comment that always refers to trustee sales, I mean, that's where that came from. But, you know, we do it every day as a business ourselves. And there's some of the people are accused of bid rigging. It'd be really tough in Riverside. There's 50 people bidding on stuff.
Yeah, you know, and that's dramatically different, though, than 5-6 years ago.
Absolutely.
When you had, you know, 40 people buying basically everything in the state. And, you know, it's one of these interesting things. I think part of the problem is actually with the way the whole system is set up, where you have guys standing, you know, together each day, day after day, and getting to be friends, and then expected to compete against each other, right to the bitter end every time a deal pops up. And so I think that there's some fundamental flaws there that, you know, create some of these issues, and I think there are a few bad actors as well.
So you would recommend some changes to the bid process, it sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, the foreclosure process as it stands today, you know, was designed, I believe, you know, shortly after the Great Depression. And it really hasn't changed in many, 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 you know, well, decades now, right? And if you look at most marketplaces for goods and services, they've, especially over the last decade, they've gone online, become efficient. You can bid from, you know, your desktop. And, you know, so instead we sit out at the courthouse steps in the freezing cold outside, listening to property after property postpone. I mean, it's an inefficient market. There's no question about it.
Do you see, especially in light of some of the problems that nationally have come up, you know, robo-signing and MERS, et cetera, do you see in the future something more of a national foreclosure law?
You know, that's tough because, you know, we talk about having a democracy. We really have a republic, and, you know, states have rights, and a lot of those rights are around property. And, you know, so having national foreclosure laws, you know, really fundamentally flies in the face of how the country was set up. And, you know, we continue to use interstate commerce as an excuse for, you know, forcing national law onto states. But I think at some point that's going to hit a rub, and I think it may hit a rub on this this issue. I think it also holds us back a great deal because, you know, frankly, we're trying to fly this ship called the U.S. economy, looking at 3,500 different, recorders' offices' data. I mean, the reality is we have no idea what's going on with real estate in the big picture. Sorry, that was a big segue there.
That's okay. No, that's, you're very knowledgeable in this business. And as a matter of fact, congratulations on being named one of the top 100 most influential people in the country for real estate. And I think it's well deserved. I really do.
Oh, thanks, Chris.
When did you get involved in as a trustee sale buyer? What years were you involved?
You know, I did the majority of my buying from 2002 to 2005, a little bit at the beginning of 2006, but sold everything in 2006 because I just thought the bubble was about to burst, and that turned out to be a good call.
Yeah. Did you, you just started looking at what prices were per square foot and saying this has got to stop at some point?
Yeah, I think it was a combination of three things. You know, one was just the affordability levels, right? And just this basic idea that, you know, look, this level of debt's not sustainable. I'm one of these folks that believes, you know, that that debt's bad. You shouldn't have debt. You know, you should pay things off. So I didn't think that was sustainable. Two, you know, selling properties, I was looking at the deals, you know, as I was selling, I was looking at the applications coming in and just thinking, you know, oh my gosh, there's no way this person can really afford this house. And, you know, they've got approved on this teaser rate, but what happens when that rate adjusts, you know, upwards? It just can't end well.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third one, and this was really the thing that tipped me over the edge, was when I started to see builders discounting. You know, and you look at this subdivision where a guy just paid, you know, $370,000 for a house with no credit down. With no money down, with poor credit, so they've already walked away from obligations in the past, and now that same house is selling for $350,000 with a free swimming pool. You know, it's not likely the guy who paid $370,000, who bought the house thinking that it was going to go up $100,000 the next year, like his friends did, is going to keep making the payments.
You're right. That was a good call. That ended very quickly. Now, your experience in real estate doesn't go back a long ways. So when did you realize, okay, this is like the grand event of our lifetime as far as foreclosures? There's been nothing remotely this damaging in our past that I know of.
Yeah, you know, I actually had a little bit of a personal experience back in the 90s, and I'll just say one last thing. I'll say, you know, those three things I mentioned helped me figure it out, but, you know, I run into people all the time that say, you know what helped me figure it out was Bruce Norris. So, I think you helped a lot of people make that that call right that most folks, unfortunately, missed, and I wish I'd known about you at the time because it was a tough decision for me, and I really felt alone, and my partners actually didn't agree with me.
Well, you know what's interesting, what you said is that something in your past led you to that conclusion, and for me it was the same thing. Just having experienced a bad market one time where I thought I should still be optimistic and taking my lumps. Experience is a good thing. You don't necessarily have to personally go through it. You can listen to somebody else's experience and say, okay, well, maybe I'll just avoid it and never personally experience that, but that's how we usually learn is through some hard knocks.
Yeah, for me it was, you know, I bought a house when I started my first software company. I was actually having a pretty good degree of success at 18. I dropped out of college to start a software company, and I bought my first house. And this was in the late 80s, and at first it was just, you know, going straight up in value. Actually had some partners steal some money from me in that company and was trying to decide what to do next. And my dad talked me into running a business for him in Hawaii until he could retire, and that was a homes and land magazine, a real estate advertising magazine. And we bought it right before the whole problem started in Japan, and you know, the real estate market tanked in Hawaii. And it was a pretty rough couple of years running a real estate magazine, selling real estate ads when the market was tanking. And at the same time, my home ended up tanking as well and ended up worth less than what I owed, and ended up having to do a short sale. So was, you know, got hit both professionally and personally by the 90s. And so was that was the past experience that had me on my toes this time around.
You know, what's interesting, what you just mentioned, is that some event, not even on our shores, can have an impact on how our real estate does.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, certainly there was a larger downturn, but what was going on in Japan certainly impacted Hawaii in a major way. And, you know, it was again, it was a debt bubble, right? right? I mean, suddenly you had all this cheap financing out of Japan, and these guys were buying up assets like crazy. And it had a lot of similarity to this, what we just felt.
One of the reasons I built those seven homes in 1989 was the targeted buyer was somebody in Japan that I was told was paying $1 million to be a member of a golf club, and he could own a custom home on a golf course for, you know, $500,000 or $600,000 in California and use it as a second home. So I built seven homes that weren't needed by 1990, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Anyway, you're in this business for 3 or 4 years. What's the most difficult situation you faced on a property?
Oh, let's see. We've had a few good ones. You know, there's some general rules that you can apply, you know, when you're buying, because you don't get to inspect the property, you know, typically in detail. And so, you generally think, okay, the inside looks like the outside. And by that, I mean, if the person's taking care of the outside, the inside, you know, generally looks similar. But there's exceptions to every rule. So had a little house in Kalinga, pretty inexpensive little place. Kalinga was going crazy there for a little while. It was a total investor bubble.
Mm-hmm.
But I was finding some good deals down there and was able to quickly flip them to other investors until I realized it was a Ponzi scheme and got out. But cute little house, but it was all boarded up. And I thought, oh, good, it's all boarded up. It, you know,
nice and safe.
Connected the inside, it's going to be perfect. And outside, the grass is mowed and everything's taken care of. So we buy this house and we pull the boards off. And it turns out the neighbors have been mowing the grass and keeping it clean, but in order to avoid paying trash bills, they've been dumping their trash inside the house.
Oh, my.
And so this thing has 8 foot of trash in the house. You've got, I think the total count was over 30 dead animals. You had a cat that had bled out through the roof, and so, like, bones, anyway, too much detail, but... It was basically destroyed inside, and it actually took. I had to go through three trash out contractors until I could find somebody that actually did it. The first one called me, and literally his guys were out in the yard throwing up.
Okay,
he just said we can't do this job. So you know, there's a couple of situations like that. You know, things do come up.
There's a reason I asked the question. I don't think you could possibly have the kind of website that helps people unless you've experienced the business. And you've experienced the business. And not just, you know, the thing that you just mentioned, but all the ins and outs that can happen to a trustee sale buyer or the foreclosure process. You've lived through that many times. And I would say that that's probably one of the most valuable things about your website. It comes from the mind of not just a computer genius, but somebody with experience in real estate. And is that combination common?
Well, you know, what's really interesting is there's a bunch of us that, you know, run around Silicon Valley trying to invent solutions to other people's problems,
mm-hmm.
right? Which is kind of where I spent my first 15 years. And, you know, after the dot-com bubble, I basically had burned out, moved out to my vacation house, and was trying to figure out, you know, okay, whose problem do I try to solve next, right, with my next startup? And kind of on a fluke, ended up investing in foreclosures. And, you know, it definitely, as a technology person, it helps a lot to go actually experience those problems. And I think if we got, you know, half the folks in Silicon Valley out of the valley for a year or two to actually go work in real jobs, we'd be building better solutions for lots of stuff.
When you started in the trustee sale buying business, how was the information that you have at your website now, how does that compare to what was available to you when you started buying at trustee sales?
Yeah, we have a whole generation of folks now that don't realize how hard it is to build a database of, you know, what's going to come up for sale today, right? So when I started, you know, basically you started watching the notices of trustee sale come through, you know, public record. The county tends to be the best resource. You can find them in the paper too, but you never know which paper, and it's hard to subscribe to all of them. So, you know, you watch the county recorders, you pick up these notices of trustee sale, but that only tells you, you know, what's scheduled for the first time. So, you know, you get down there to the trustee sale, and you've got the 15 properties scheduled for today, and the guy starts reading off 50 properties. Mm-hmm. Wait a second, where are these other 35? Well, they've been postponing.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first started, they could postpone for an indefinite period. So you had properties that were postponing that had their notice schedule, you know, first posted or recorded 2 years earlier. And so it took months before you had a complete database of what was going to schedule each day where you weren't missing stuff. And it killed me when I was missing stuff because, you know, I couldn't compete on those. And, you know, the guys that have been standing down there longer, you know, had a lock on those deals. We've changed that dramatically.
And how you find out about information, I mean, before, wasn't it all phone calls?
You know, really when we started, you really just had to stand down there every day. You could do a little bit of it by calling.
If you're doing it for a business and you're chasing all of the foreclosures, you're right, there would be...
It's another piece that most people don't realize. I mean, you stood down there every day with a notepad and a printout of everything, and you'd put in, you know, what the new date was and the postponement reason and, you know, whether it canceled or whatever, and you'd fill out this form. And you had to do it in real time while listening to the auctioneer and, you know, other people are coming up and talking. You're trying to keep track of all this stuff. It was very difficult. I mean, we've radically changed that in the last 3 years since we launched.
You know, it's the truth is that your website has really leveled the playing field and hastened the time it takes to go from novice to pretty functional.
Yeah, I mean, I think certainly on the data side, right? We've always talked about there being multiple inefficiencies to the foreclosure market, data kind of being the first one, and I think we have helped a ton there. You know, there's still other inefficiencies that I don't think have made it, you know, a completely efficient marketplace, like the fact that you need to show up with cash, the fact that you need to do, you know, there's no title insurance, there's no inspections. You know, and what's interesting there, though, is there's two sides to this, right, is as the market becomes more efficient, the discounts are going to get smaller and the opportunity to profit are going to get smaller. So, you know, on the one hand, we're really helping make the marketplace more efficient and, you know, make people's jobs easier. You know, on the other hand, some would say that we've hurt, you know, margins. You know, so I get that there's a, you know, two sides to that coin.
Yeah, that was actually a question, the reaction of your fellow trustee sale buyers to all the new competition that can compete very quickly.
For those folks that, you know, were my friends, I think they realized that somebody was going to do it, and they were glad it was me versus somebody else. When I've gone out and spoke or, you know, met with folks, you know, it's always this mixed reaction of, you know, we love how much easier you've made this for us, and we hate how much easier you've made it for everyone else.
Exactly. But you know what? I think that you have provided a missing link, and that's your intention. And again, going back to your mission statement, the foreclosure process has been shrouded in darkness for too long. Get-rich-quick gurus and disreputable list peddlers have thrived in this darkness, manipulating consumers and real estate professionals alike. And you know what? That's what your company has done. You've made it very transparent and understandable. And you mentioned if you're looking to get rich quick, you know, you probably should seek another venue, but you can still make one heck of a living by doing this well.
You know, absolutely. I'm not a believer in get rich quick, you know, schemes. And I hate the marketing to people that, you know, follow my five simple steps and you'll, you know, make $1 million. But, you know, for anybody who's willing to work hard, the foreclosure business is a great business. And, you know, I really struggled with, you know, fortunately, 2007 was such an awful year to be in the foreclosure business because nothing was being discounted by the banks. It kind of forced me to make a decision. But, you know, I struggled with leaving that business to go back into the software business and start Foreclosure Radar. It's pretty fun. It's almost a little addictive, you know, to be down there bidding on these properties. And it's funny, as you're bidding, you've these real mixed emotions of you're bidding, you're competing, and suddenly you've won. But rather than feeling excited, you suddenly go, what do all these other people know that made them stop? And I didn't stop. Did I just make a huge mistake?
Or if you were
never not had that feeling, and it's quite a fun little roller coaster ride.
Have you ever, I'm sure you have, been the only bidder on a property?
Yeah,
absolutely. That's when the lump comes in your throat.
That can be very nerve-wracking, yeah.
Because you're looking around. And by the way, I mean, I don't know how it works up in Northern California, but in Southern California, no one's coming to your rescue if you're making a mistake.
No, that's it's part of the kind of professional investor's creed, I guess. In fact, there was a gentleman that came down to the steps pretty early on. He had his daughter with him. Nice guy. He's kind of, just making small talk beforehand, and he goes to bid on a second, and he's going to lose a minimum of $150,000.
Mm-hmm.
And I stopped him.
Mm-hmm. Did he believe it?
And, I almost got, beat up by the other investors there for having stopped him. And I understand their point. The guy didn't make that mistake, and he was down there for years as a competitor after that. Had he made that mistake, we would never have seen him again. So,
I'm glad there's still room.
Business.
Yeah, but I'm glad there's room to do that. I've done it myself and still am in contact with the same guy 20 years later. So, I just don't think you change who you are at the steps. I can't see doing that. But I understand everybody else isn't going to help me. So, matter of fact, one day, just a short story, just to check that, I qualified to bid on a second that I knew was a second, and four other bidders joined me. And then when the opening the bid, no one said anything. And one of the regulars came up to me and said, what was all that about? And I said, I just wanted to see if you'd tell me it was a second.
Well, and notice that when you qualified, they also qualified, because that gives you
comfort.
Some comfort that, you're going in on the deal. And they go, no, this is a good one. We're jumping in on this, too.
Yeah, that was even worse. I mean, they not only would they let me just do it, they would assist me in feeling good about it. Oh, well.
We've actually seen, I've actually seen, it's been some years, some cases where somebody down there has bid someone up, even though there was a $100,000 plus loss, just to see the guy's loss be bigger.
Wow.
And, it's a professional investor that, had been very successful down there and made a lot of money. And, I think he was just showing off for his friends. But, that's, for these guys, a 100K loss, or for some of these guys, a 100K loss, in order to make a point, sometimes is worthwhile to them, whereas it wouldn't be worthwhile to most of the rest of us.
Yeah. Well, at the end of your mission statement, it says foreclosure is an unpleasant process, and there are human beings behind the numbers, and that includes your fellow bidder, too. So for what it's worth.
Yeah, absolutely.
We got about a minute left. At your website, it's interesting that the real estate investor, certainly not your only client. Government?
Yeah, we were as surprised about that as anybody else, but mosquito abatement districts and, government outreach, even a law enforcement dispatch where they want to go, see if, they regularly now go out to calls where one person's claiming they own the house because they bought it at auction, and the other person claims they still own the house because they're there, and, who do you believe? And so we've ended up with a lot of government users, and we've a lot of realtors who are working on short sales or just want to know what's going on in their marketplace. In my little hometown, we've got three or four times as many properties in some stage of foreclosure as we have listed for sale.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you want to claim you're a market expert, you kind of have to know what's going on with the foreclosures in your area, too.
Well, Sean, thanks for joining us. Sean's website, foreclosureradar.com. I highly recommend joining it. And Sean, thanks, and we'll do one more segment next week.
Great. Thank you very much.
Okay.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com.